night.
This is Into the Night, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Tony Bruno and Harry Mays.
Does it feel like opening day, Harry Mays?
Not really.
No, because it's July 23rd.
Yeah.
It may not feel like opening day. We're usually coming out of the All-Star break around this time and back into the second part of the regular season, right?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, this is opening day of training camp in football around this time
exactly
of year.
Exactly right, but this is not the new normal. Well, it is the new normal until the next new normal happens. But a guy who's always normal, and he's been normal for a long time, that's why he's a Hall of Famer, and he doesn't even have to wear pants to do a live stream, so to speak, because it's easier to live stream if you don't have your pants on. Then you just run into the bathroom. He is the great Jason Stark, Hall of Famer, and, of course, writer for The Athletic. We were just talking during the break, Harry, and people on Twitch heard it about, you know, all these Zoom calls, Jason, and the guy's wearing all kinds of weird stuff. And you were wondering what you had to wear. You know, you've been doing these Zoom things for the last 6 months.
I know, right? Hey, you know, that the question you have to ask everyone now is, what's the attire? How grungy am I allowed to look?
Right.
Only quasi-grungy
you
today.
You could never look grungy. You're clean-shaven. You got your hair all did up. Harry got a haircut today, although you would never notice. Come on, Harry.
What are you? I'm not going to get dolled up here. It's a Thursday.
You've been crying about not being able to get a haircut for months, and then you can't even tell you got a haircut.
That's the idea. I like it long. Why do you care?
You said you were going to grow a mullet.
Well, I am.
Jason's got a tie. I like when Jason had the big curls, though, man. I love back in the day, man. Jason had the little fro going back in the day. His Syracuse days, of course, in the early days of the Inquirer.
Yeah, I had some borderline fro going. I did. I wasn't Oscar Gamble, but I had some fro.
All right, Jason, opening night tonight. Now, you've been around this game a long time. How bizarre does it feel to you knowing that we're going to have baseball games tonight? No, we have baseball in July, as I mentioned before, but will this feel like opening night to you with no fans in the stands and the Yankees playing the Washington Nationals?
Well, it is, but that doesn't mean it's going to feel normal. I said to my wife this morning, happy opening day, and she said, what month is it? That really does sum it up, right? Like, I'm happy they're playing. Max Scherzer, Gerrit Cole, tee it up, I'll watch, I can't wait. But that doesn't mean it's going to resemble any opening day that I've ever seen or you guys have ever seen. It just is what it is.
Yeah, but at least you got two teams, two good pitchers. So, and we've seen some of these games that have been played, these, what are they calling them now?
Summer camp games.
You know, where they're deciding to, let's play another half inning and get some work for the pitchers. Or it's a 2-2 tie, let's just go the hell home. And all that other stuff, which was crazy. But at least it should resemble as close to normal baseball as possible, right?
Wait, what, when the season starts?
Like tonight. I mean, there's going to be weird stuff in the stand, but they're still going to throw the ball as hard. The pitchers are going to pitch. The hitters are going to hit. The fielders are going to catch the ball, hopefully. There'll be errors, but I just hope there's not a tie. I do not want to see tonight's game, the first game or the second game, end on a runner at second base to start the 10th inning. Do you?
You're talking to the wrong guy, man. I've decided I like this rule.
Really?
I'm the last guy you probably ever thought would say that, right?
Yes.
I spent the last couple of weeks talking to people who have managed games with that rule, who have seen a lot of games with that rule. It is made to order for you guys, man. The second guessing possibilities are off the charts.
No, I agree.
If you bunt, you screw it up. If you bunt and the team throws it into right field. If you swing away and you don't score. There is so much to talk about and think about. I'm the thinking man's fan. You know that, Tony.
Yeah, but I thought you were like a baseball purist. Remember the, purist.
I'm not. Like what the downside of this is I am a fan of the 17-inning game where the shortstop pitches and one of your pitchers is in right field. I am a fan of that. I will miss that part.
Jason Stark from The Athletic joining us here. Tony and Harry having fun on a Thursday.
Well, Jason, we got the first day of the season, 60 games. It is what it is. But we've got a team that is homeless, and we've got a sort of a hanging participle out there in that they might expand the playoffs, but they haven't done it yet. What can you tell us on both of those fronts?
All right, well, I don't know about you. I don't ever recall arriving on opening day, and one of the teams said, where are we going to play? That's kind of new. I really feel sorry for the Blue Jays, because if they're interested, the wiffle ball field here in my backyard is available, but probably wouldn't meet the specifications they're looking for. So I think they're going to wind up in Baltimore if the proper authorities approve. If the alternative is they have to play 66 straight days on the road, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make a big league team do that. And plus, it's a public health hazard to have them traveling around constantly. Mm-hmm. You need some stability. So I hope that's not the outcome. They've done a lot of work on Buffalo. It would take portable lights, you know, additional lights being installed, and massive upgrade of facilities with next to no time to pull that off. But that's kind of their fallback position. On expanded playoffs, it makes so much sense for everybody, especially economically, to expand the playoffs to 16 teams that, you know, because it's baseball, that won't happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, you cannot get the union and Major League Baseball to agree right now whether they should use Zoom or FaceTime. So can they agree to expand the playoffs to 16 teams? I actually hope they can for this year, but I'm not that optimistic.
Yeah, and then the thing about baseball that I always thought, you play 162 games, and then you have that one-game wild card game at the end. And again, I know they can't keep expanding the playoffs then and keep playing best of threes or best of fives. But that's – and everybody makes a big deal about the wild card. You know, I mean, these guys play an entire season, 162, and then it comes down to one game. That always seemed to bother me. I don't know why. Well, I guess that's not a fair way to end it.
I mean, there's nothing fair about it. I've covered a lot of these games, and, like, they're awesome. You're basically starting the postseason with March Madness, with a game seven. And the intensity of those games is great. There's only one bad thing about it. If you lose.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Your beautiful season is over with after 3 hours. I've been in some of those losing clubhouses after those wild card games. And the level of anger of the team that loses, especially if something weird happens in the mm-hmm. game, is unlike anything that you experience in baseball. So, again, there's a reason in a season like this to expand to 16 teams. The first round would be best of three. I'm guessing probably all in one site, the higher seed. And it would be wild. It would be fun. You might even see some doubleheaders to get that thing over with quickly. I don't know if I'm a fan of it over the long haul, but in a season like this, I think it makes sense.
Now we have a late entry into the Toronto Blue Jays story to get back to that.
Oh, we do?
Yes, the governor of Connecticut has said, hey, Blue Jays, Hartford's ready, and Connecticut is just a better place to be. Go Yard Goats. So he's offering the Hartford Yard Goat Stadium up there, you know, which, again, is not a major league facility.
Right.
And we were talking yesterday to some friends in Canada about, you know, the Buffalo Stadium, even though it's a nice stadium. And you mentioned there's not enough lights and the conditions for the clubhouses. And that's why Pennsylvania didn't want it, because there's not enough facility, although PNC Park's beautiful. Baltimore is still in the mix. But we already discussed this. It's kind of weird that we are at this point with all this time to do it, to have it happen like this. Pretty much a microcosm of how this whole baseball negotiation turned out to be an absolute crap show.
It's a microcosm of 2020. We're just making up the rules as we go along, aren't we? And everything. You know, you have to understand that even if Pennsylvania had said, yes, you can go play in Pittsburgh, the Blue Jays would not have been allowed to use the Pirates clubhouse.
Right.
Now, the visiting team would have been allowed to use the visiting clubhouse, but the Pirates would have been dressing in, like, giant tents or some temporary facility. They were talking about putting up temporary showers. This is not major league luxury as we're used to it, but...
But wait, they could have brought in that hospital ship again,
oh,
the
yeah.
Hope. And they have
right
the three rivers.
They got
the confluence of the Three Rivers outside of
the
Three Rivers.
It's an amazing idea.
And then you have a hospital ship, and it's empty, and it's all sanitized, and then the Toronto Blue. See, why didn't Governor Wolf call me? Why didn't the Blue Jays organization call me? I would have fixed this thing in a hurry.
You'd have games called because of rough surf? No, Tony.
Well, Jason, the Mookie Betts contract, 12-year extension, $365 million. What effect, if any, will that have on JT Realmuto?
Great question, Harry. Now, JT, I think he and George Springer now become the marquee free agents. And this would certainly appear to back up what he told The Athletic a few weeks ago, which is he thinks the best players on the market will still get their money. And Mookie Betts got his money.
Yep.
So now it's the Phillies' move. To my knowledge, there hasn't been any significant contact between those two sides since all this started up again, so basically since spring training. And John Middleton, who's the president of the Phillies, look, he loves the player. I think he's desperate to keep the player. The future of the core group is very dependent on keeping this player. It's now for him to take another look at what he thought the economic climate looked like. This is really in ownership's hands. And what makes it interesting is, if you think back to JT Realmuto's arbitration case, he was not comparing himself to other catchers. He was comparing himself to other stars. And from what I've heard, that has been his approach and his agent Jeff Berry's approach to the free agent discussions. We're not that interested in what Yasmani Grandal just got. Big deal. The floor for them has been Paul Goldschmidt, okay, which was 5 years and, what, 130, 135? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. And they've even floated some Anthony Rendon-type comps. Now, he's not going to get $35 million a year, but it's going to be a big deal at this point. And that's what Mookie Betts just did for JT Realmuto. He is going to get market value because there's no one like him on this market.
Yep, and you mentioned the Betts thing. By the way, give it up to Lou Merlone. Former player broke that story up there in Boston Radio. How about that, huh?
Yeah, he does good work.
Yes, he does. All right, but the Betts contract is 12 years, $356. That goes on top. That's an extension to the 1 year, $27 he was getting anyway. Mm-hmm. So basically now he will make $392 million. Mike Trout was a $360 million extension. So now Mike Trout is no longer the highest-paid player in baseball. And everybody thought
no,
he would
he
be.
Is. Well, but if you're going to add the two deals together, the Mike Trout's is still bigger. And Mike Trout's extension in itself was still bigger.
Okay.
Mookie just slots right behind him. Either way.
Yeah, we're sitting here.
Able to afford
but,
that no,
yeah,
no
but did Mike Trout get a $65 million check upon signing? Like Mookie Betts just did.
Well, it's all money management, man.
By the way, speaking of Trout, I want to mention that he is not opting out. He said that he's not opting out, and that's good news. And then Juan Soto tested positive today, so there's a lot of little nuggets I want to get to. And I mentioned earlier you were the best at nuggets. And the Cubs, by the way, no fans in the bleachers, but they will replace it. Instead of with cardboard cutouts of people, there'll be ads placed in those empty seats in the bleachers at Wrigley Field.
There's a lot of teams doing that. Cash flow is huge.
Exactly. And then I got to give
out. You know, there's people sitting on the rooftops, right?
Yes.
So we're excited about the people on the rooftops. And, we had Jim DeShays and Len Casper, the great Cubs broadcasters, on our podcast with me and Doug Glanville, Starkville, a couple of weeks ago. And I asked if they thought that people would sit on the rooftops to watch them do road games.
Why not? Right?
Yeah. Nope. Nobody else in the ballpark, but it's an excuse to go sit on the roof and look at Wrigley Field. Your view of Jim DeShays will not be that stellar, however.
But the good news for Chicago Cub fans, for the first time ever, opening day, the actual ivy on the wall will be grown instead of being
right.
all
brown,
withered and dead like when they start the regular season, right?
Yeah. A few years back, remember covering the postseason, and the players noticed that the ivy was no longer green. It was red.
Okay. It started changing colors. Yeah,
we're not used to the Cubs playing deep into October.
Exactly.
When they play deep in October, the ivy turns red. It's miraculous.
This is not, you don't get this kind of horticulture knowledge on Baseball Talk as well with Jason Stark. He mentioned Starkville. Talk about a brilliant
podcast,
name.
Yeah.
Jason Stark, Doug Glanville, Starkville, Harry. Isn't that down in Mississippi?
It is.
That's down there in Mississippi.
That's where
you
Mississippi
guys,
State
I know.
Plays.
Did you get sued by Mississippi State for taking Starkville?
We're not, but when we refer to it as the other Starkville, people in the real Starkville are not that happy.
Exactly right. All right, now we got a couple. We got Marcus Stroman. Now, the Mets, all of a sudden, the Mets have Stroman down with a left calf injury, a tear, not just an injury. And, of course, you got the
Syndergaard.
Thor's already out for the year with Tommy John. Are the Mets, is that how bad does that hurt the Mets? Do they have enough pitchers to make it a run? Because a lot of people are high on the Mets this year in that National League East. How badly does this hurt them without, first of all, Thor and now Stroman for a while?
Yeah, there was a lot of buzz about the Mets in the original spring training. But since then, these two guys go down is going to be a test, because I think overall depth and pitching depth are the two things you wonder about most with the Mets. I don't know how they get past this. Now, they had big bullpen issues last year. As I look at their bullpen this year, it feels to me like it should be much better. But now the bullpen's got to carry that load. It's going to be a strange season anyway. You're going to have teams like the Giants that are going to completely dispense with the notion of the starting pitcher 3-4 days a week. Mm-hmm. Okay, and like that might have to be the Mets now a couple days a week. Mm. Get 27 outs, however you have to get them. But look at the NL East, Tony. Fangraphs projects the four teams, other than the Marlins, to all win between 30 and 33 games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the difference in just the drop-off between a Syndergaard and a Stroman to whoever they have to plug those holes with, that's the kind of thing that could be the difference between whether you get to the postseason or you don't.
We mentioned a guy yesterday who pitched for the Mets and the Phillies last year, still sitting at home, our buddy Justin Vargas.
Vargas.
He's available.
Jason Vargas.
Jason Vargas, not Justin. Jason Vargas.
You guys are very close.
He sweats profusely, as you know, for the Mets and for the Phillies, and now he's out of work. Do the Mets call Jason Vargas now and bring him in back to town?
Well, I mean, here's the problem. You might have heard that their season starts tomorrow.
I know that. I'm just talking about for another arm. I mean, they've lost two arms.
I know. But it's not like you've got 6 months to get them up and running. You know, this is not a year where you can have guys not be ready for a month and a half. The season's almost over. It's a 9-week season. And that's the problem when you hear Stroman is week to week in a 9-week season. Look, you could miss a couple weeks in a normal season, and it's not a big deal. If you miss 15 games of this season, it's 25% of the season. So it's going to be really difficult to sign anybody who's just been sitting around at home.
By the way, I got to give a shout-out to my boy Phil Gosselin. The Phillies announced their 30-man roster, but they only have 29 players, and nobody has played better in this short summer camp than Phil Gosselin, local guy. He went to Malvern Prep from Bryn Mawr. Went to the University of Virginia. Braves draft pick was here for a couple of games and has been tearing the cover off. Only 7 at-bats, but he had 7 hits, 7 for 7, Jason.
Yeah, if you're looking to make a team, Tony, I recommend never making an out.
Exactly. Can I write that down? Let's see. Let me write that down. If you go 7 for 7 in limited play and you're on a 30-man expanded roster and you don't get taken, there will be out. I think people will be going down there with pitchforks and torches down to Citizens Bank Park demanding that Phil. But no, they're going to add him tomorrow because a lot of people are. Howard Eskin was tweeting, how does Phil Gosselin not make the roster? Well, they only have 25 guys announced, and they're going to add Gosselin back tomorrow. A guy who can play a lot of different positions.
It's a great story. Teams run into 40-man roster issues, and they're complicated this year because you don't have a minor league system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you designate a guy for assignment, there's no chance you keep him. So it's tricky. And he'll be on the team when they take the field against your Marlins tomorrow night, Tony.
My Miami Marlins, a team that the Phillies, they better not, don't sleep on the Marlins.
They got trouble. We have trouble with them.
Most people sleep on the Marlins, except, the Phillies sleep on the Marlins, and that's why they always lose to them, it seems. All right, let me ask you about the Yankees tonight, because obviously the Yankees, everybody loves this team. You look at that lineup. You look at the pitching staff. The Nationals, by the way, if you're a betting man, minus 133 Yankees tonight, plus 123, the Nationals. I know you're a big gambler in baseball. I know Pete Rose used to give you some tips, but you never took them. That's how you got into the Hall of Fame, and he is still out. Who do you like tonight, Jason?
Who do I like, Cole or Scherzer? Could be a double no-hitter, man.
I mean,
if you're asking me whether I think the Yankees are good.
Well, no, everybody knows the Yankees are good.
I'm going to sign up for that. I would be more worried about the Nationals than the Yankees.
Yes.
Losing Juan Soto is a devastating loss. They're already trying to cover for not having Anthony Rendon. I mean, Tony, following the Nationals last year down the stretch in the postseason, I was blown away by the succession of incredible game-changing at-bats in big spots late in games that Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto provided. With them both down for who knows, well, obviously Rendon all year, but Soto for who knows how long, I'm worried about the Nationals. Again, the NL East is so tough. A win or two that you don't get now hangs over you all season. So I think this is a big one, Juan Soto.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. And the other game, the Dodgers and the Giants in L.A., and, of course, Kershaw's ninth consecutive opening day start. And Kershaw's been phenomenal, but, you know, they still they always talk about postseason in L.A. and winning the World Series. Mm-hmm. That's their goal. Giants are loosey-goosey here, and obviously – you know, when you look at they're going with Johnny Cueto tonight. I mean, the pressure's all on the Dodgers, is it not, in this particular game, especially since
the
Giants
season,
have not.
Really.
Well, yeah, especially tonight, opening night, Dodgers Stadium. Rick Monday won't be there for the Cubs to run out and pick up a flag that's being burned by a couple of fans and have it swooped away just in time and get a standing ovation by the Dodger fans. Those were the good old days, but this is a new era, and the Dodgers must win, and they must win a lot of ball games.
They must win tonight?
I think it's a must-win game. You know, so you just mentioned this is 160. What is 60 games? One game out of 60. What percentage of the season is that?
160.
Every game is worth 2.7 games in normal season.
This is 2.7 wins here tonight for Kershaw.
Kershaw's -300. If you lose with him, you're down 3 units right out of the start.
Not
the
big unit. You're right. This game counts. Does Kershaw get 2.7 wins tonight if he wins this opener? That should be the new stat. You know, baseball loves adding new stats all the time.
Jason's like, when is this over?
What I get myself into, right? Yeah.
Jason doesn't know that I've been doing this for 40 years?
I can't wait till we're voting on the Cy Young and we're trying to decide what matters most. Was it Kershaw's 15.4 wins or was it Scherzer's 13.6 wins? That's what you want us to do?
Yep,
exactly.
That's
right. That it would be funny, wouldn't it?
It would.
If each win is 2.7, shouldn't we adjust it so then when you are voting for the Cy Young, it actually looks like, hey, that's not a bad year. A guy got 15 wins in a 60-game season.
There's a lot of fun with numbers coming up, Tony.
Exactly right. Jason Stark, last thing, of course, and that's the rest of baseball. I mean, everybody, we always ask everybody, who's the sleeper team? And everybody's been saying Cincinnati Reds. So therefore, they're no longer a sleeper team if everybody suddenly likes them, right?
I just finished a chat at The Athletic, and somebody asked me about surprise teams, and they were talking about the Reds and the White Sox. If all we talk about are the Reds and the White Sox, how can they still be a surprise? I kind of like the Blue Jays as a sneaky pick.
Wait, the homeless Wanderers?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know where they play their home playoff games, but, you know, there's a team. There are a lot of reasons that I like that team. Obviously, really impressed with their young players, their young position players, and the way they've upgraded the rotation. But here's something to keep in mind in a season like this. The ability to manufacture your own energy in a ballpark with no fans night after night is going to be a huge factor in this season. And I don't know, after being around that team in spring training, they've got that energy. They've got some players who I think could take a big leap. If they could just find a place to actually play their games, that's a team to watch.
He's a guy we always love to watch. And people are saying, Jason's like, what's going on? Jason's got to be thinking this Bruno guy's crazy. He's known that for how long?
Yeah, since when?
I'm not crazy.
That is not breaking news.
That is not breaking news.
Well, Jason, will Terry Francona's club be known as the Cleveland Baseball Club starting tomorrow?
Apparently not.
No.
What do you guys favor for their new name? I'm big on that. I really am big on the Cleveland Spiders, but I doubt that's going to happen.
I wouldn't say tribe because that's too much Jewish in it. You know, then the Jewish people would say, wait a minute, I'm not a member of the tribe, but M.O.T. You know that whole M.O.T. thing. You went to Syracuse. You know all the M.O.T. guys up there, members of the tribe. Can we even call them tribe anymore? No, that's even more offensive than just saying Indians, right?
I think they're meeting with Native American people today on it.
Listen.
To discuss it.
They got to do what they got to do. I'm worried about the Washington Football Club and the fact that they can call themselves the Washington team, football team. And by the way, Barstool already has a shirt out with the Washington, the maroon, and it just says Football Club on it.
Right.
So that's the genius. Burgundy and gold, just saying Football Club. I think that's
genius. You heard the Seth Meyers line, right, after the Washington football team decided to change its name, that after careful consideration, they realized that millions of Americans were offended by the name Washington.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, but he has a staff of writers. We just do it ourselves here. We don't have all the writers to do late-night television. Jason, it's always great to see you, man. Thanks for the time today, brother.
Thanks,
always,
Jason.
Always a pleasure, man.
The great Jason Stark at The Athletic, the senior writer, and in the Spink Award winner from last year in the Hall of Fame, baby.
And also the Starkville podcast.
Starkville.
With Doug Glanville.
Not down in Mississippi.
Nope.
They may not be playing down there. Well, they'll only be playing conference games.
SEC is going to play.
Damn right they are. Yes, Jason is following me on Twitter. Come on, man. You ask me a question like that. We're coming right back. 215-462-TONY. And the strapper line. Miss Robin has alerted me that there are quality strapper calls, but there's always room for more. 856-818-4045. 856-818-4045. Having fun on a thirsty Thursday, baby.